Tonight, the title of my sermon is All Scripture is Profitable. All Scripture is Profitable. And tonight, I want to look at the two of the major things that the Bible does for us. You know, the Bible does many, many things for us. I mean, and I don't have time to start going down the list, or I'll just take all my time and not be able to get to my sermon. But the two I'm going to mention tonight, the two things I'm going to mention tonight that the Bible does for us are by far the most important thing that this book does for us. And when it says all Scripture is profitable, these two things that it does for us, for each and every one of us, is profitable. We find them in these three verses that we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Of course, 2 Timothy was written by Paul to his son in the ministry, Timothy. We first meet Timothy in Acts chapter 16. The Bible says that Paul would have him join him and travel with him, and he did. He traveled with Paul, was trained by Paul. And later on, when Paul wrote the book, or the first letter to Corinthians, he said, now if Timothy comes, make sure you take care of him, because he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. What Paul was saying is, hey, if this young man comes, take care of him, because he's doing the same thing that I'm doing. He's working for God just like I am. I believe Timothy was saved as a young child. I believe that because earlier in 2 Timothy, Paul mentions his faith. And he says, I've seen your faith. He said it's an unfeigned faith, a genuine faith, a real faith. He said, I saw it first in your grandmother Lois, she had it. And then I saw it in your mother Eunice. And then he says, I am persuaded that you have that same kind of faith, that genuine, real faith. And what a wonderful thing it is when we can pass faith down to our grandchildren and down to our children. It ought to be the desire of every parent, the desire of every grandparent, to pass their faith, the faith that they have in God. And by the way, that ought to encourage us to make sure that we have the same kind of faith that Paul was talking about. Real faith in a real God. So that when our children and our grandchildren see it, they can have that same kind of faith. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that you have it. And again, 2 Timothy was written by Paul to this young man named Timothy, the last book that he wrote, and he was giving him some final instructions. And as he does, he reminds him of two things that the Bible will do for every single person if that person will let the Bible do it. I'll just tell you what they are. The two things that I want to talk about tonight that the Bible does for us that fits under the category that all Scripture is profitable is that it makes us wise unto salvation. Number one, makes us wise unto salvation. And number two, makes us perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I want to talk about those two things a little bit tonight. Paul wrote, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It's important for us to teach our children and our grandchildren the Bible. It's important that we teach them about God. It's important that we teach them about Jesus Christ. It's important that we tell them the stories of Bible heroes. They need to hear from us the story of Noah and the story of Abraham and the story of David and the story of Daniel and the story of Peter and the story of John and the story of Paul. They need to hear from mom and dad and grandpa and grandma the stories of Bible heroes that God has put in this book for us. I can remember as a child laying with my grandmother. As we went to bed at night, and we would get under the cover, and she would tell me the story of Daniel in the lion's den, or Jonah and the whale, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And a lot of people ask me, where did you go to Bible college? And I said, I went at my grandma's knee. I didn't go to Bible college. I learned what I learned from the about the Bible from my grandmas and my grandpa, my Sunday school teachers, and my preachers down through the years. But it started at an early age. I don't know how old I was, but from the earliest time I can remember, my grandmas, both of them, told me Bible stories. And so our kids and our grandkids need to hear the stories of the Bible heroes from us. We need to encourage them to memorize Scripture. We need to help them memorize Bible verses. And by the way, the best way that you can help them do that is be an example to them. You learn them. You quote them. And help them learn to do the same thing. John 3:16. Romans 3:10 and 3:23. Romans 6:23. Romans 5:8. Romans 5:12. Romans 10:13. Those of you that know those verses know I'm taking you down the Romans road. And the verses that tell us that we're a sinner and that Jesus loved us and died for our place. And if we'll ask him, he'll save us. And what Paul reminds Timothy is through the Scriptures, you were made wise unto salvation. Because the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is the Bible that teaches us that we're sinners. It is the Bible that teaches us that there's a penalty for sin. It is the Bible that teaches us that Jesus paid the price for our sin. It is the Bible that teaches us that if we ask him, he will save us. And I want to remind you tonight, it is wise to get saved. Amen? It is wise to get saved. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says it's a fool that says there is no God. So it is a wise person that believes there is a God, that fears him, and that comes to him through Jesus Christ. We talked about it this morning. Just stop and think again of the two places, the two destinations that await people eternally. Heaven and hell. And again, just think about it from a wisdom standpoint. Here's hell, the bottomless pit. Here's heaven with a street made out of gold. The bottomless pit or a street made out of gold? Which one are you going to choose? Which one would a wise person choose? Here's which place is over here? Okay, thanks. Hell. I get confused. Oh boy, the older I get. Anyhow, here's hell. The Bible talks it, even though it's a place of fire, it's a place of darkness. Here's heaven where there is no night. Which one is a wise person going to choose? Here is hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's heaven, where there is no tears. Here's hell, where you are tormented by the fire forever and ever and ever. Here's heaven, where there is no pain. Here's heaven, where there is God. There's hell, where there's Satan. Now, which one is a wise person going to choose? I mean, that's a rhetorical question. The wise person is going to choose heaven. Only a fool would choose hell. Only a fool would choose to go to that place for eternity and be apart from God for eternity. Salvation, it says, wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Not just faith, but faith in the only one that can get you to heaven. Faith in the only one that can make you right with God. Faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, as most of us are, we are here tonight, saved, with our sins forgiven, on our way to heaven, because one day we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And we did that because of the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so the first thing the Bible does is brings us to salvation. All scripture is profitable. Jesus asked the question, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And Jesus said, if you do that, you're making a bad trade. You've made a bad decision. If you gain the whole world and yet lose your soul and go to hell and spend eternity in hell, you're not profitable. You didn't make a profitable decision. And so all scripture is profitable because it leads us to salvation. And then Paul writes, all scripture is given by inspiration. That's that word we talked about this morning. God-breathed. A God-breathed book. A God-dictated book. God said it, and holy men of God wrote it down as God said it. And I was thinking last night, I wonder how many times God had to say, hey, Peter, you didn't get that quite right, bud. You need to start over. I mean, that's not what I said. Oh, and by the way, the comma doesn't go there. It goes here. And the period doesn't go there. It goes over there. Now, we're going to get it right. And I wonder, Brother Tom, how many times you had to tell those 40-some men that he used to write the Bible, you didn't get it quite right. We're going to do it again. I remember when I first started working and I got a position where I actually had an administrative assistant, a secretary. And I was new at the job, and we hired this girl for the summer who was the plant manager's daughter, okay? And she had been to secretary school, and they said to me, now, you're new, she's new, so just put her through the drill. Just, you guys learn together. I said, okay, that sounds like fun. So I called her into my office, and I said, do you know how to take shorthand? Oh, yeah, I had a course, no problem. I said, okay, I'm going to dictate a letter to you. So I dictated this letter. I said, you go out and type it, bring it back to me. So she brought it back to me. I could not understand. I said, if I said this, I give her the benefit of the doubt. If I said this, I messed up. This doesn't make sense to me, so we're going to start over. So I dictated the letter to her again, and she brought it back in the second time. I looked at it again. I said, you know, now, the first time, it might have been me. But the second time, I had actually written down what I wanted to say in the letter, and I had it in my desk drawer where she couldn't see it, and I was actually reading it to her. I said, it's not me. Are you sure you took shorthand? Oh, yeah, I got an A in the course. I said, okay, we're going to try it one more time. And so I did the same thing. I pulled my drawer out where she couldn't see it. I read the letter to her. She brought it back the third time. I said, I think we're going to skip shorthand. I think we're just not going to do it anymore. You probably need to work on it a little bit more, and so do I. And I wonder how many times God felt that with the secretaries he had. But he didn't quit. And again, I'm just putting my human reasoning to it. They may have got it right the first time. You remember the story in the book of Jeremiah? Where Jeremiah called his assistant, the guy that was helping him, and Jeremiah dictated a message of judgment. And Jeremiah said, I can't go read it, but they're having a feast, and a bunch of people are gathered together. I want you to go read it. And it was a message of judgment. So he went and read it, and some of the princes of the king heard it. And they said, well, hey, we're going to tell the king about this. And they told the king, and the king says, go get that scroll. And they went and got the scroll, and they read a couple leaves from it. And the king got so mad because it was a message of judgment, he cut it up with his knife and threw it in the fire. And this guy went back and told Jeremiah, and God told him, get another scroll, we'll write the same thing, and we'll add some more to it. And the princes came to this guy, I can't remember his name, to Jeremiah's secretary, and he said, how did he do that? How did you do that? And this guy's answer was, he said it, I wrote it. He said it, I wrote it. That's exactly how we got the Bible. God said it, man wrote it. God breathed it, man wrote it. God dictated, they wrote it down. So all scripture, the Bible says, is given by inspiration of God. All scripture Even the parts that we want to skip when we read. Even the parts that we think, boy, this is too hard for me to understand. Even all those begots over there in the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, all of those are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable to us. And then it goes on and it says, and it's profitable for doctrine. The things we need to believe, the basis of our faith, they come from Scripture. And when the Bible says, be ready always to give a reason for your faith, know the doctrines of the Bible. That's where they come from the Bible. It's profitable for us to know those doctrines. It's profitable for reproof. And I'm just going to give you the Manning interpretation of what I think the Bible means by reproof. It means when we're way off base on purpose. When we're way astray on purpose, and God has to reprove us. He does that through the Word of God. He gets our attention through the Word of God. He convicts us through the Word of God. So, for reproof, for correction, that's when we're a little bit off by accident. And we just need to be corrected. God knows we're not doing it on purpose. So again, he takes the Bible and corrects us to get us back in that straight and narrow way. And then it says for instruction in righteousness, so that we can know the difference between right and wrong, so that we can know what God wants us to do. And so all Scripture, given by inspiration of God, is profitable for those four things that the man of God may be perfect, not sinless, but mature. The Bible helps us grow. The Bible helps us become more like Jesus, so that we are thoroughly furnished, so that we are thoroughly equipped. The Word of God is our training book. The Word of God is what God uses to make us into what he wants us to be, so that we can do what he wants us to do. You see, God never asks us to do anything without preparing us to do it. Never does. He never asks us to do anything without preparing us to do it. He had a big job for Moses, and he sent Moses to school for 80 years. 40 years in the courts of Pharaoh, 40 years in the wilderness leading sheep. And when Moses was 80 years old, God said, okay, you're ready now, you're trained now, go back to Egypt, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He trained David. You remember when David said to King Saul, hey, don't worry, I'll go fight Goliath. I fought a bear, I fought a lion, I was keeping sheep, and they tried to come steal my sheep, and I fought them, and I beat them. God has trained me. This giant ain't nothing. I can go defeat him. I don't need your armor. I don't need your sword. I use the same weapon that God trained me with to defend my sheep, to kill the lion, to kill the bear. And David went and slew Goliath because he had been trained by God. In the same way, God equips us. And the major way that he does it is through this book. We are furnished or equipped through Scriptures. And not just furnished, but thoroughly furnished. Inside and out. Through and through. Everything that we need to know, God will teach us from his Bible. From his book. So that we are thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything that God wants us to do for him. Every good work that he wants us to accomplish for him. And what's the purpose of our good works? It's so that others can see God and glorify him. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, the Bible brings us to salvation. And then through doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, it helps us mature. It helps us to be thoroughly furnished so that we can do for God what he wants us to do, so others can see that. and glorify him. And so I say to you and I say to myself tonight the same thing that God said to Joshua. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And by the way, if it's not going to depart out of our mouth, it has to be in our mouth in the first place, which means we know it. We've memorized it. Shall not depart out of our mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night. To fix our hearts and to fix our minds on the Word of God, on a Scripture. And let it get a hold of us to where we meditate on it day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We meditate day and night so that we will do everything that's in this book. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. All Scripture is profitable. We'll be prosperous. We'll have good success if we'll stay in this book and do it, and do it, and do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this book that you've given to us. Thank you that it's true. It's always right. And I pray, Father, that it's brought us all to Jesus Christ. I pray if there's just one person here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, that they'd understand they're a sinner. Heaven or hell awaits. And the only person that makes the difference is Jesus. And I pray again, Father, that they would come to Christ tonight. I pray for the many Christians that are here. And you're working on us. And you're using the Bible. You're trying to perfect us. Make us into that vessel that you can use. And I pray, Father, that we'd willingly offer ourselves to you and let you do that. I just pray that we as Christians here tonight would give our hearts, our lives to you and say, here I am, Lord, break me, mold, melt me, mold me, fill me, and just use me to accomplish what you want to be accomplished. Just bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, as you speak, help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.